You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor. Myself, DJ Ambush, and Dr. Bukasi Dubé. How are you doing this week, sir?
Doing well, my man. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a busy week. I feel like I'm fully recovered from that cold that took me out a couple of weeks ago. I'm feeling good. And unbelievably, we're at the end of the year. This is really strange. It snuck up on me. One of my staff yesterday said, Christmas is next week. I said, no, it's not. And they're like, no, Christmas is next week. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's next Saturday. It's right around the corner. So
it's right around the corner.
It's
Only 10 days away.
So this will be our last episode for the year. Just really, really grateful for everyone that has tuned in and supported the show and is sending questions and have shared with other members of their community. Like, we really, really appreciate it. We love all of the feedback. Honestly, the motivation to help people in our community and make sure they're properly informed is why we do this. So any feedback that you can continue to give us will help give us some direction of, making sure we're covering the topics that you want covered. With that having been said, Doc, would you like to introduce our guest for today?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So one of my favorite guests is here today, Dr. Heller. She's awesome. She keeps it real all the time and always explains things in very, very understandable and in ways that most people can chew on. So Dr. Heller, thank you for joining us again and looking forward to a lively discussion.
Thank you for inviting me. I was really tickled to get the email asking if I'd come back. I was like, absolutely.
Yes. The last episode you were on was amazing. We had a really good time. Looking forward to it. So we're going to start off talking about pediatric vaccines and, just some overall holiday safety. And of course, the main topic of discussion is the variant that we're currently dealing with. Mm-hmm. Can you please explain what the Omicron variant is all about?
So, the Omicron variant is, I think the most important thing to know about the Omicron variant is when people hear about it in the news, they hear it referred to as a South African variant, which is definitely misleading. It's the only reason why it was located or isolated in South Africa is because they have an amazing infrastructure for research and especially for epidemiology, which has been borne by the fact that they've had to identify malaria and typhus and other such diseases. But actually it's been circulating while before it was actually finally identified and isolated in South Africa. It had already been in Belgium, for instance, prior to it being isolated. So one thing we know about the Omicron, and by the way, things are constantly coming out about Omicron, is that it does appear to be more catchable or more spreadable, or more contagious is the word, than the Delta variant. And the Delta variant we know was really contagious. One thing is that I've noticed just from listening and reading is that there's a question as to the virulence of it. Like, is it as virulent as the Delta variant? And really don't know. There are some cases where it doesn't seem to be as bad. People are not as hospitalized. We've seen that mostly in Europe where people don't have the same hospitalization rate with the Omicron as they have with the Delta. I'm not really sure about that yet. And so far, the big burden of the viral type or viral variant we have here in the States is still Delta. So even though Omicron is a variant of note and one that we're looking at, Delta is still our primary beast that we're dealing with now.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. We made a point to constantly remind people within the last episode and the one previous to that, that while there is a lot of news about Omicron, it being the new variant and it having different characteristics, the primary thing that we're still dealing with is the Delta variant. And that doesn't mean that other variants that preceded that aren't still out here. So we still need to keep the exact same safety protocols. Mm-hmm. Doctor, did you have anything to add to that, Dr. Dubé?
No, she knocked it out the ballpark, man.
Okay.
I got nothing to say. And you know it's hard to keep me quiet, so
Okay, so there are also concerns that the Omicron variant may be able to evade the vaccine on some level. Can either of you speak to that?
Yeah, so a lot of that has to do with the number of mutations on the Omicron on this variant, and it has about 50, approximately 50 mutations, and that's that confers a lot of, well, we're concerned about it because of that, right? Are vaccines going to work against that? Does it evade the immunity immune system? And are the current therapies that are out there going to be effective? So those are things that we have to think about as public health, as physicians and as public health folks. And I think that's part of the reason why the world over people are concerned about this variant. So we're still learning a lot. There's a lot of information that's coming out, and we'll know more as scientists around the world are coming out with information.
I will say that so far, the studies that they've looked at, they specifically were looking at the impact of the Pfizer vaccine on the Omicron variant, which was interesting to me. And so far, there's I think they said 35% to 50% effective or efficacy against the Omicron. But what was interesting to me was that they didn't look at Moderna, and we already know that Moderna has the higher level of circulating antibodies. It definitely had more impact on the Delta variant. So I'm trying to, I just don't understand why they haven't really focused on the Moderna as much. I like to say it's because they know it was Black Girl Magic that made that one, and that's why they highlighted
Well. So, so,
it
so, so, actually, what we gotta say is, so in South Africa, at least, they have a whole lot more Pfizer than they do Moderna. That's
Okay.
one, and I think the rest of the world is also has that. There's more Pfizer available in the rest of the world than there is Moderna. And also, actually, the lead scientist for Pfizer for the Pfizer vaccine is do was Dr. Tatenda Shupira, who's also an African American male. So I know Black Girl Magic is in there. We've had a chance to talk to Dr. Kizza Mkia-Covid, and I really enjoyed conversing with her. So shout out to her.
So I'm like huge fangirling on Dr. Corbett. I'm just like huge fangirl. But Dr. Alcindor also from Meharry also helped with Pfizer. So we definitely know that, they got the HBCU influence in there. I mean, that's why I told you about Moderna and Pfizer specifically. They went out of their way to make sure that they recruited the top in their field of Black people, which I think is amazing. I think the thing that affects me though, that concerns me about why there's not more Moderna is when it first came out, what they said they would do, the head of the company said they would share it. They would share the information on how to make it with different countries, and now they're reneging on it, and that's really upsetting to me.
So we actually touched a little bit about that when we were talking to Dr. Evans, and it's quite upsetting, right? Because we're shooting ourselves in the foot when we don't share this information with the rest of the world. As we know, all the variants that we've had in this country have come from outside this country. And so if we're not sharing our vaccines, if we're not sharing our technology, at least as it pertains to this pandemic, we're only harming ourselves.
As the non medical advisor person on the advisory person on the call, I'm going to throw the conspiracy theory out there. I mean, my thinking is, why wouldn't you share? Why wouldn't you share this data so everyone could be safe and we can move past that? Of course, there's money to be made in
It's
having to
money.
produce, vaccine after vaccine as we keep getting these variations. You said something earlier about the number of mutations within the current variant. And I want to make sure I heard that right, so I'm asking the right question. I think I was under the impression that when we're getting these new variants, this is a particular strain that we're dealing with, and it's just the one strain we're dealing with. It sounds like when you say number of mutation, is it like a series of mutations that make up a variant? Is that how this works?
Yes,
Okay.
so the Omicron variant has about 50 mutations, and those are pro it, these mutations lead to proteins on the on the
Capsule.
virus, and
Okay.
so the more mutations it has, the higher the chances that it's not going to be the higher the chances that it's going to be different, and by different I mean it could be more transmissible. It could evade the immune system, and our therapies may not be as effective.
Okay.
So, as viruses replicate, as viruses reproduce, they don't have a copy editing mechanism, a very good copy editing mechanism, such that they make a lot of mistakes, and they don't have a good way of correcting those mistakes. And that's how these new variants come into being. And their goal, right, is to their goal is to become to become more effective at spreading. And a good virus is one that doesn't that spreads very well and doesn't cause people to be very, very sick. That's well, that's good against in the virus world, right?
Yeah.
I think
Right.
people forget a virus is still a living, it's a living organism. The goal
Yeah.
is to replicate and to live. That is the goal. And so
Yeah.
anything is able to do that is going to do. And I think about that old, I don't know if you ever saw that movie. It's Contagion was a book by Robin Cook. And they made a book with a movie about it later on. And at one point they showed the electron microscope picture of the virus before and after it mutated. And I always think about that whenever I think of the coronavirus, because I think about, even though yes, it's the capsular form with the different pills on it, but I always think about how quickly, even in that movie Contagion, how quickly that particular virus was able to replicate in such a way where it was able to evade the immune system. That's the goal. And so going back to your question and adding to what Dr. Dubey said, we know that anytime you get a different strain, it's just basically that virus has figured out a way to mutate just enough to evade all the different immune systems that is being exposed to, being able to evade it and evolve so they can spread further.
The virus is trying to survive, y'all. It's trying to outsurvive us. Does the Omicron virus variant rather pose a higher risk for infants than other variants?
I don't think we've seen data that says that.
Okay.
I think they're
That's
all
true.
bad.
That's true. We don't have data as yet, in terms of the severity of illness in certain groups, certain age groups. But what we do know is that at least in South Africa, a good chunk of the folks who came down with this Omicron variant were young college students, and that's what initially made people get excited about, oh, it doesn't cause as severe an illness. But it was because it was observed primarily in young folks who don't typically get as sick as elderly folks. So the jury is still out, and the verdict will be coming hopefully soon.
But I think the important takeaway, and I want to make sure I add it, is I think if we go into it with the philosophy as, well, okay, it's not as bad as Delta, therefore that's the reason why I shouldn't get my kid vaccinated, then basically that's the wrong way to think about it, because you're shooting yourself and everybody else in the foot. Like if this one, even if it's this particular one may not hurt my daughter, my child, why would I allow another one to come up and hurt her? Just go ahead and get the vaccine and be protected.
That was the next thing I was gonna ask. Yeah, I mean, so nothing's really changed. We still need to take every step and precaution we can to, circumvent and reduce the spread of any of the variants. Can we talk a little bit about booster shots? I remember maybe I guess halfway through our season, Dr. Dubé, we talked about how us being concerned with booster shots here in the US seemed premature because there were so many nations that still haven't received, their initial series of vaccines. What's changed between now and then?
So my philosophy is, hey, I still think it's unethical for us to be one, boosting folks, two, wasting as many vaccines as we do when when South Africa has 31% of their population vaccinated, when I believe the Congo has less than 10% of their population vaccinated, when the rest of the world has less than 25% of their populations, at least the developing world, their populations vaccinated. So this is what I was talking about. And I think Dr. Evans also talked about this as well, talking about vaccine global equity. We need to, and it's in our interest to vaccinate the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. It is, and until we do that, we are only, we're not doing enough to protect ourselves. So yes, boosters are now available and boosters help. And we should get boosted if you haven't done so here in the US. And at the same time, we should be sending more vaccines and the technology for other countries to vaccinate their populations.
I wasn't sure if you had anything to add to that, Dr. Heller. That's why I paused.
I agree. You know, I was watching the interview of the health minister for South Africa when she was on the BBC, and they were talking about the variant. And I was struck by the fact that when, you know, for one thing, I was upset when I found out about the travel ban for South Africa, going back to the fact that, hello, it didn't start there. But also when she was talking about the inequities, like we would not be here at this point with yet another variant if there weren't those same inequities in the vaccine, especially since the reason why the world worked together to get it here so quickly was so that we could share it among everybody and get this thing under control quickly. So that whole fact, the equity issue is humongous. And I just don't know how we are able to, like, on an individual level, like push it and push people to actually want to be equitable and actually to see that there is a benefit. You may not have monetary benefit right here and right now by making sure it's the access is open to everyone, but over time, everyone will benefit. Industries and economies will benefit from sharing that vaccine freely.
Absolutely. I saw that interview as well, at least maybe a good 5 or 7 minute segment of that interview. And I was completely taken back. I couldn't mm-hmm. believe some of the things she was saying and things that are just completely just unaware of, you know, the imbalances and the way it's being handled around the world. Yeah. So we are heading into the holidays. We're fresh off of Thanksgiving holiday and we're heading into Christmas and New Year's. There's going to be a lot of partying, a lot of revelry. For the most part, the protocols are going to be exactly the same that we recommend, you know. Be mm-hmm. safely distanced, wear a mask, get vaccinated if you haven't been. If you have and you're eligible for the booster, go ahead and get your booster shot. Are there any other things that you would like to kind of remind our audience to do?
I would say people need to be mindful, still continue to be mindful. You know, I think all of us are tired, flat out. We're all tired of wearing masks. We're all tired of seeing our people. But, you know, if we know that our family that we really want to see is, you know, a plane ride with 3 leaps away, perhaps we shouldn't take that trip, because we know that even though, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, while we may be doing relatively okay with our numbers, that's not true for the rest of the world, people, or at least the rest of the country. People need to be mindful of where they're traveling and then be responsible for when they travel and when they come home, like who they mix with when they come home. I think that people need to be, if you're going to travel, that's fine, and take that risk, that's fine, but you need to be transparent. So that if you come back here from a hotspot like Texas, that you either quarantine accordingly or make sure you let other people know when you come back that, hey, this is where I've been, so that other people can make the decision for themselves.
You know, I chuckle because my family's in Texas. My family's in Dallas, Texas.
My brother is too. It's okay.
So y'all know. Y'all already know. Yeah. How are those conversations with your family members in Texas? How are those conversations going?
Well, so my whole family here in the U.S. is vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So my mom is vaccinated. My two sisters are vaccinated, and I think my nieces are vaccinated as well. I have a 6-year-old niece and a 13-year-old niece. I think both of them are vaccinated. So. And all the extended family is vaccinated. So we've had these conversations since January of this year, where I've essentially I've been encouraging folks, hey, you need to get vaccinated. It's the right thing to do. It's a responsible thing to do. And you're not just doing it for yourselves. You're doing it for everybody else. You're doing it for those that can't get vaccinated as yet. The four year olds and younger. Mm-hmm. So, let's protect each other and let's protect our elderly folks as well. So, because when they get it, they don't do as well.
I've felt really blessed. I've had a lot of friends, a lot of colleagues, and Dr. Dubé, I'm sure you do too, where the physician and the family is totally being ignored and they're getting frustrated. And I feel blessed with this at one point, like, thank God I'm Black. Thank God. And thank God I can say I went to Howard, because so many of my family members have came to me like, what do you say? Or they'll call my sister and say, you know, what does Kim say? And my sister's like, look, get vaccinated. Kim says, do it. And so far, even my country cousins are vaccinated, you know, and my sister also locked down, like the older people in my family, she locked down my parents. She locked down my great aunt and uncle and told people, you can't come around unless you have vaccination or a test. And you need to show me proof before you go over their house. We've not been playing because we can't afford to lose any of our family members. We you know, when, especially because I'm 46, I'm blessed to still have family members who are here, who are in their 70s and their 80s, yeah. And we have to take care of them. Yeah. You know, I want to keep them here. I'm not ready for them to be ancestors yet. So, you know, I feel like we've done a really good job of keeping people safe. And even my brother, who's in Texas, it took a little bit to convince him. But when my sister was like, you can't come up here without proof of vaccination, he went and got vaccinated.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
Got to pull that card. Got to pull that card. I mean, we understand, you know, vaccine hesitancy. We understand African-American community, our community not trusting the government, not trusting medicine, systems of medicine. We get it. We absolutely get it. And at the end of the day, yeah, it is about trust. It's about loyalty to each other. So you mentioned, sure, you want to go travel. That's fine. Be honest and respectful when you get back. Like, when I came back from Philadelphia, I had a sore throat. I had congestion. I went and got a rapid test done immediately. So it wasn't COVID. It was just a bad cold. But this is a different world. It's not like you can just walk around. There were times we would walk around with colds and just be like, okay, you know, I'll just, you know, stay to myself. Things are completely, I stayed in the house for a week and a half. And partly because I didn't even have any choice. This cold really took me out. But we have an obligation to be extremely honest with each other right now, especially the way these variants are popping up. We don't know when, what variant is in what place by the time it hits the news cycle. Like, honestly, they're saying it's popping up one place, but and Dr. Evans said, very, 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 I love how smoothly he said this. Your next door neighbor is now in another continent.
Yeah.
Like, your next door neighbor is 8 or 10 hours away. Mm-hmm. That's how, you know, how quickly these things transmit and how easy it is to get it. So yes, being honest with each other is very, very important. If you know you've been around someone that could have possibly been exposed, if you know you've been around someone who is an anti-vaxxer or anti-masker, you do have an obligation to let your family know.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
I just want to applaud you, DJ, for doing the responsible thing and staying home when you are not feeling well. Because it's easy. Hey, we all have jobs. We all have things that we need to take care of. And it's easy to say, you know, I'll just put on my mask and get on my day and do what I need to do. But the responsible thing is, you know, stay at home and take the extra time off that you need to rest and to isolate yourself if need be and get tested.
Yeah, seriously. A member of my staff texted me this morning and said, you know, I'm feeling a little weird. I don't think it's COVID, but, you know, I'm feeling a little lethargic and I feel congested. Stay home.
Stay home. Stay home. Yep.
Stay home. It's no problem. We'll catch you next week. Even some of the events, holiday events I've been to, me and my partner have been invited to, they require, as soon as we get there, take a rapid test outside. Well, you know, hang around the fire pit for a little while. And then once you get the result, okay, mask can go off and you can go inside. So there's different protocols I've seen, you know, people set up. And you're still able to enjoy each other. You're still able to, you know, enjoy each other with confidence and safety that no one is spreading anything. Yeah.
You know, there's something that I wanted to highlight today, which is when we started this series way back in, it feels like a lifetime ago.
It does.
back in May, we, I think we had about 40% of, it was less than 40% of Black folks vaccinated in the Portland Metro. We are now sitting at about 69.5% having received at least one dose.
Wow.
That's a major milestone, right? It is now the norm that if you're 18 and older and you're Black and you live in Oregon, you are more likely to be vaccinated than not. So we need to have continue having those conversations, right? I had somebody ask me last week, hey, I'm fully vaccinated. What can I do? And I'm boosted. What can I do to help the cause? I was like, you know, you can share your story. You can normalize being vaccinated, and that helps a lot in getting folks who are on the fence to get their shot.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you said that. I actually was able to go out to brunch with my work sister, and I put on my Facebook, I took a picture of me out there in the store, and I was like, vaccinated and boosted, ready to go. And I was surprised by the number of people who reached out to me and were like, oh, I'm glad to know that you're vaccinated. How was the booster? I haven't gotten mine yet. Should I get it? Like, I was surprised by how many people, you know, reached out and said something. So I was really glad I posted that. I wasn't even thinking about when I did it. I was just glad to be out of the house. But I mean, but what you said is true. Like when it really, the representation part really does matter. So the more that we're out there, the more that we're showing these things, the more that we're saying, hey, this is what we need to do to stay safe and go back to somewhat like normal, the more people will be, it'll be normalized and we'll be willing to do it.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
And I'll also say that 80% of my OB patients are vaccinated. The national average is like, I think 60% of OB patients.
Wow.
But the reason why 80% of mine, personally, just me, not my office, me, are vaccinated is because a lot of my patients have been with me for years and they've heard me whine, complain, argue, cajole, get on my knees and beg them to do flu shots. And so I've had so many discussions with them over the years about vaccines that I feel like COVID for the most part has been a really easy push, especially with me having the data in hand. So, and I think that that's important because if 80% of this Black doc's patients are vaccinated, that means they're going out and they're telling other people, my doc said this. And I think that that's really important too, especially in Oregon, is those of us physicians of color who take care of people of color, it's really important for us to really push that narrative among our patients and understand it's not just impacting what's happening in our exam room. It's going much further than that.
Yeah, yeah. So Dr. Hella, I want to give a shout out to you because I was at an event a week or two ago, and one of your patients came up to me and told me that you had encouraged her to get vaccinated, and that's the only reason why she was vaccinated. She was about 6 months pregnant, and I thought that was awesome, right? I'm like, wait a minute. One, I know her. Two, she's awesome as hell.
Right.
Three, she's doing the right thing by encouraging you to get vaccinated. Right. While you're pregnant. So I was excited to hear that. And I just wanted to give a shout out to you for that.
I appreciate it. I will say this is a little funny story. There's a clinic in Portland Improv in the professional building, room 222, where you can go down and get vaccinated. And I have taken people by the hand down there and put the shot in their arms myself. And, you know, just anything to do it. And it was great because the first time I did it, the people who are there, the pharmacist is a Hispanic guy and the lady at the front desk is Hispanic. And so when the lady first came down to sign in and said, I'm leaving to go find my doc. They were like, why is she going to get her doc? And then when I walked through the door there, they're like, oh. That makes sense now.
That is awesome.
I didn't think that that'd be a big deal. I figured other docs were doing the same thing. And now I realized, no, I guess not. But now that we know, Dr. Dubay,
yep.
You can do it too.
You can do it. Yep. Totally agree.
There's something you said the last time you were on the show that really stuck with me, Dr. Heller, and I've been using it ever since with regards to people saying that they need to do the research, those vaccine hesitant folks. And she was like, you said, no, you're doing the reading. You're not doing the research. Let's be clear about that. And it's been a really, really great point for me to bring up in discussions with people that are just, you know, that are still hesitant. But it's so great to hear that we're that high now. You said 69%?
69.5% of Blacks 18 and older in Oregon are vaccinated, have gotten at least their first dose, which is very, I mean, it's encouraging. I still want to urge people more people to get vaccinated, because the rest of the state is at about 80, 81, 82%. So we have a long ways to go before, we get to 80.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to thank you both. Please continue to keep up the great work. There's no amount of praise and appreciation that we could levy onto your community, Black practitioners in the medical field. Like, thank you so much. So very much. And happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everybody. Enjoy yourself.
Yes. Yes. And we will catch you guys in the new year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Stay safe.
Stay safe. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.